praise your name, O God. We worship you, God. We adore you. Thank you that you are here, O God. Indeed, another good morning. That you've given us the grace to honor you, to adore you, to give you glory. Thank you for your faithfulness. Hallelujah. We praise you. We give you glory. We give you honor. We give you adoration. We give you worship. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for your grace and mercy. Praise God. Indeed, thank you for joining in. It's another good morning that God has given us to praise his name, to worship his name, to lift up his name. And I know that God is faithful. He will speak to us. And just to carry on from where we left it yesterday or the day before, we started looking at the ascension gifts, that's the offices. And this we read from Ephesians chapter 4 from verse 11, where it speaks of, he has been describing as the fivefold, as what we refer to as the gifts of men, the gifts that Jesus gave when he ascended. Remember, we looked at the apostles, we were able to classify them as we have apostles that are the apostles of the Lamb, who are the 12 apostles. And then they were replaced, included Judas, they were replaced by Matthias. And then we also have the apostles that were there in the early church. We have Junior, we have Paul, we have Barabbas, and we have a number of apostles, James that I mentioned, who are apostles. And remember, we looked at apostles are those who are called just messengers. And so today I want us to look at prophets. And if you haven't listened to the apostles, please go and listen. And I believe that God will give you the grace. And I always say, I'm not exhaustive. There's always more that you can capture. There's always more that you can read from scriptures. And I just pray by the grace of God to just give you a sneak preview of the topic. So today we'll look at prophets by the grace of God. And I wanted just us to read the Bible. I think the most important thing is to understand who is a prophet. And I know nowadays we have so many definitions of prophets, we have so many examples of prophets, we have so many people who are prophesying and who are calling themselves prophets, and there are also very many expectations of being a prophet because of what the media or what many people who call themselves prophets are doing. So I pray by the grace of God we'll be able to have that understanding, and you shall be able to know what is the real aspect of the real meaning of prophecy that we are talking about. Okay, so I will read. Let us read our scriptures, because the scriptures are our foundation. And the Bible says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, which I think we'll look at that, and we'll look at also many other verses. It says, 1 Corinthians chapter 14, it says, let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. So I'm reading from the New Living Translation. Let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special ability the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. And this is where it says, eagerly desire the greater gifts, especially the gift to prophesy. And there is a reason. So then it says, for verse 2, for if you have the ability to speak in tongues, you will be talking only to God. Since people won't be able to understand you, you will be speaking by the power of the Spirit, but it will all be mysterious. But the one who prophesies encourages others and comforts them. Sorry, the one who prophesies strengthens others, encourages them, and comforts them. A person who speaks in tongues is strengthened personally, but the one who speaks a word of prophecy strengthens the entire church. Verse 5, I wish you could all speak in tongues, but even more, I wish you could all prophesy. For prophecy is greater than speaking in tongues, unless someone interprets what you are saying, so that the whole church will be strengthened. Verse 6, dear brothers and sisters, if I should come to you speaking in an unknown language, what will that help you? But if I bring a revelation or some special knowledge or prophecy or teaching, that will be helpful. Verse 7, even lifeless instruments like the flute or the harp must play the notes clearly, and no one will recognize the melody. And if the bugler does not sound a clear call, how will the soldiers know they are being called into that battle? In the same way, if you speak to people in words they don't understand, how will they know what they are saying? But you might as well be talking into empty space. There are many different languages in the world, and every language has meaning. But if I don't understand a language, I will be a foreigner to someone who speaks it, and the one who speaks it will be a foreigner to me. And the same is true for you. Since you are so eager to have the special abilities the Spirit gives, seek those that will strengthen the whole church. So we can see that from the onset that he speaks, Paul is teaching the Corinthian church. Remember, the Corinthian church had asked him questions about spiritual gifts. They are a growing church. There was so much fighting. There was so much issues with the church. They were loved of God. They were washed. They were sanctified. But then they were also struggling to understand aspects of the spiritual gifts. And that is why the gift of prophecy is being taught to them. And so Paul was telling them that if you look at the previous chapter, the last verse, it says, but I will show you the most excellent way. It has just, and that the most excellent way is the way of love. That's the last of chapter 12. And so he has taught about love. And then he says in verse 14, chapter 14, let love be your highest goal. But you should also desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit, especially the gift of prophecy. So when we speak of a gift, we speak of a special ability, we speak of a grace to do something that is enabled to you. So we can see that there are three main aspects of the gift of prophecy. That the prophecy, when you're speaking, when you're prophesying, it is someone who strengthens others, someone who encourages others, and someone who comforts them. And maybe just to look at the version of just a second. Let me just I want us to look at how King James puts that verse. Verse 3, that but he that prophesies speaks unto men for their edification, for their exhortation, and comfort. So edification is someone who builds you up. Remember when we spoke about a building, it's more of like someone who is adding to your spiritual muscle, adding to your spiritual strength. So a prophet is someone who communicates a message from God. And a prophet is someone who has received a message from God, which is from the scripture, and he teaches you. And as he teaches you, he strengthens you, he encourages you, and he comforts you. So a prophet receives the message from God. So it is important to note that the prophet does not necessarily have to be someone who has the, you know, who is, okay, there are two words. There's foretelling and there's forthtelling. Now, just to differentiate that again, foretelling is someone telling you the future. Foretelling is like someone who is telling you the future, and that is what we commonly understand prophecy to be. But forthtelling is someone who communicates to you now the message of God to you. So the pastor or the preacher or the apostle will pray, and as he's praying, and God will reveal a message to him, and as he's preaching, he communicates that message to you, and that message is to edify you, is to build you, is to strengthen you, is to encourage you, and is to comfort you. So the Bible tells us that eagerly desire the gifts of the Holy Spirit, especially the gift of prophecy. And it says that I would rather all of you prophesy. So we can see that prophecy was not limited to just the prophets. So everyone has the ability and is able to be given the ability to prophesy. So let us quickly look at Acts chapter 2, and I want us to pick what happened when the Holy Spirit was poured upon the disciples on the day of Pentecost. And I want us to quickly just verse 17. Acts chapter 2, verse 17, the Bible says, let me just highlight it so that you can see it clearly. It says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, says God, that I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh." I'll pour out of my spirit upon all flesh. "Your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams." And verse 18, "And on my servants and my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy." And this is from verse 16, but this is what was spoken of by the prophet Joel. So in the book of Joel, chapter 2, you can be able to read that prophecy that in the last days God said he will pour out his spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy. So everyone who receives the Spirit, everyone who receives the outpouring of the Spirit and is filled by the Spirit, then they shall have the ability to prophesy. And here, the ability to prophesy is the ability to communicate a message from God to the people. And you see, that's why when you are doing evangelism and when you meet someone, you will find yourself, you are speaking to the person. You did not have the words before. You did not prepare what to say to the person, but God gives you a message of encouragement to this person. So you're able to tell them, "I can see, I feel that you're going through trouble, but I would like you to know that God loves you, that God is concerned for you, that God has a purpose for you, and it doesn't matter what you're going through." So as you see, as you're speaking to this person, you are prophesying, you are forth-telling. Now, forth-telling is receiving a message from God and communicating it to the person. So there's also what I will call also a creative aspect of prophecy. Now, the creative aspect of prophecy is, as you communicate, "I bless you, I speak words of life over you." As you're prophesying to the person, then you are also creating a reality to that person. So prophecy has the aspect of foretelling, where you're telling the future. You're telling someone, I mean, God has revealed to you that, you know what, this is what is going to happen. And this you can see, I think it's in Agabus. There's a prophet that is spoken about in the Bible, in the New Testament. And this is Agabus who came to Paul. And this you can, maybe we can read, yes, Acts chapter 21. We can check that. Acts 21 from verse 10. Acts 21 verse 10. Let's just go there. The Bible tells us that, okay, let me just use a simpler translation so that we can be able to flow with it. If you don't mind, yes. Acts 21 verse 10, it says that several days later, a man named Agabus, who also had the gift of prophecy, arrived from Judea. He came over, took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and his hands with it. Then he said, "The Holy Spirit declares, so shall the owner of this belt be bound by the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem and turned over to the Gentiles." When we heard this, we and the local believers all begged Paul not to go to Jerusalem. But he said, "Why all this weeping? You are breaking my heart. I am ready not only to be jailed at Jerusalem, but even to die for the sake of the Lord Jesus." When it was clear that we could not persuade him, we gave up and said, "Let the will, Lord's will be done." So you can see, Paul, this is the time Paul was saying farewell to the Ephesian leaders. And he was in Ephesus, remember, for a period of 3 years. He had appointed elders with them, and now he was telling them goodbye. And a prophet comes from Judea, and the Bible describes him as a prophet, Agabus. And he said he had the gift of prophecy. So he just came and told, and you can see what the Bible tells us, that he came and took a belt and told Paul's belt and tied his own feet and hands. And he said, "The Spirit says." So you can see a prophet declares what the Spirit says, declares a message from Christ. with the authority because he has heard from God or he has seen from God, and he's able to speak what he has seen, a message from God. And he says that the Spirit says that the owner of this belt shall be bound by the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem and turned over to the Gentiles. That means Paul was going to be arrested in Jerusalem and then handed over to the Gentiles, of which he was handed over to the Romans. Because Paul said, I appeal to Rome. Remember that. But then, and they begged him. They said, Paul, please don't go. We don't want you to die. You can see. But you see, how did Paul handle the prophecy? Paul did not reject the prophecy. The prophecy confirmed to him what God had already spoken. So when someone prophesies to you, they might not necessarily speak to you a new message. They will just speak and confirm to you something that already you know, that God has already been speaking to you, that you're already in tune with, that you're already in contact with. So it is highly unlikely that a prophet will come and say something to you that you do not know. Yes, I know there are things that God will speak through a prophet. I mean, maybe when you're calling out for people into ministry, you can tell them, well, I see you're going to be an evangelist or you're going to be a pastor. But the person might not have seen it in them. But if God has revealed it to you, then it shall come to pass. So that is in aspect, you are prophesying to that person. But you see, with time, the person shall come to the understanding of the truth. And that is why the Bible tells us that we should not treat prophecies with contempt. And this we can read from 1 Thessalonians, 1 chapter 5, from verse 20 to 21. It says, do not despise prophecies, but test everything. Hold fast to what is good. Do not despise prophecies. So even if someone comes and communicates to you something that you're not aware of, the Bible is telling us, do not despise it. Do not despise it. Test everything and hold fast to what is true. So when someone is prophesying and you feel there's something that is not yours, pick what you want. Pick what you think is according to the gift of God, is according to the grace of God. Test it. Give it time and wait and see. And then we shall confirm whether this was truly of the Spirit of God, this was truly true, and hold fast to what is good. And this is a principle for everything. It's not everything that someone will communicate in a message that you will agree with, but take what you see God is communicating right, hold fast to it, hold fast to what is good. Now, I want to speak just on the other aspects of prophecy. What you will realize is that the prophecy, apart from strengthening, encouraging, and communicating, prophets also have vision. In that they have dreams, they can see dreams. And an example, we can read from Numbers. Let's just look at the Old Testament. There are also warnings that God gives against prophecy. And that is something that we need to be careful. Let us just quickly jump to Numbers chapter 12, verse 6. And then we shall also look at Deuteronomy chapter 13. The book of Numbers in the Old Testament, chapter 12. And just jumping to it, Numbers chapter 12, verse 6. It says, hear my words. And he said, hear my words. If there is a prophet among you, I, the Lord, make myself known to him in a vision. I speak with him in a dream, but not so with my servant Moses. He is faithful in all my house. So God says that if there was a prophet among you, the Lord says, I will reveal myself to him in visions. I will speak to them in dreams, but Moses, his servant, he was not speaking to him in dreams. He was not speaking to him in visions. But he was speaking to him face to face. So a prophet, God can reveal to him in a special way, in a dream, in a vision, in a trance, and in any way God can give the message. So prophets will necessarily have sight. There are those prophets that have hearing. There are those prophets that have visions. So all these are avenues that God communicates to them. And they are able to deliver the message to you. So remember those, they were arguing with Moses, but God was like, I speak to Moses face to face. So why are you disturbing him? So we can see that that God's desire was actually the, I believe, the highest calling, and even higher than even dreams or visions, is when God just speaks to you directly as a man to his friend. So I know at times you might be wondering, oh, I don't see visions, I don't do this, but you have the word of God. So the highest place of authority is the word of God. And let us just look at that. I think we can look at, okay, let, before I go that, let's look at the other warning of Deuteronomy chapter 13, so that we can understand how God is very concerned about prophecy, because it is important that we know the warnings of prophecy and we don't just jump into prophesying and speaking to people lies, because, and that is what some people do. They will just come and tell you, oh, I see this, I see this, and everything is just from themselves, it's just from their mind, it's just from their understanding, and it's not from the Spirit of God. Deuteronomy chapter 13, from verse 1 to 3, it says, suppose there are prophets among you, or those who dream dreams about the future, and they promise you signs and miracles, or signs and wonders, and the predicted signs and miracles occur. If then they say, come, let us go worship other gods, gods you have not known before, do not listen to them. The Lord God is testing you to see if you truly love him with all your heart and soul. Look at that. Look at that warning. It's saying that you have a prophet who is among you. He gives you dreams and visions. He prophesies. He shows you signs. And they come to pass. Look at that. It's not even that they fail. And they come to pass. But then he says, but the person tells you, come, let us go and worship other gods. Then the Bible is telling you, do not listen to them. And this is the warning that we've been talking about. Do not really follow after the gifts, but follow after the fruit. What is the fruit of their life? Do they demonstrate the fruit of the Spirit? Do they demonstrate love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control? Do you see Christ in them? Do you see the life of Christ in them? But rather, if you see there is so much immorality, there is so much corruption, there is so much giving of money, there is so much selling of prophecy, selling of things, of handkerchiefs, of anointing oil, of water, then you are in the wrong place, because the gift of God is not to be merchandised. It's not to be sold like a commodity. But you see, when it says, come, let us worship other gods. What are these other gods? Other gods are idols. When someone starts telling you, take this anointing oil, go and spray it all over, then you have turned your faith away from God as your protector, and you have put your faith on a bottle, or on oil, or on water, or on a certain door, or on a certain altar. So people have turned their altars, their churches, or they have turned certain things to be idols. So people will say, no, I must connect with the man of God. They have turned even God to be the men of God to be idols. So this is a dangerous warning. So someone has prophesied, he has spoken to you the future, he has given you signs, he has told you the truth, it has come to pass, but then he turns you to other gods. He turns you either to start worshiping himself, sorry, you start worshiping him as a person, you find people are bowing, they're doing so many things, they're going overboard, and then you find people are turned to worship after money, or you find people now are told, okay, now we need to do this, you need to do these funny things, then you must know that God is testing you, and he wants to truly know whether you are after the Lord your God, and you're not after all these prophecies, signs, and things that people are after. Let's quickly jump to 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 3. Which Paul warns us that there shall be many false prophets in the coming time. 2 Peter chapter 2, from verse 1 to 3. And the Bible says, but there were also false prophets in Israel, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will teach cleverly. They will cleverly teach destructive heresies and even deny the master who bought them. In this way, they will bring sudden destruction on themselves. Many will follow their evil teaching and shameful immorality. And because of these teachers, the way of truth will be slandered. In their greed, they will make up clever lies to get hold of your money. But God condemned them long ago, and their destruction will not be delayed. And furthermore, it reads, if God did not even spare angels who sinned, how much more, you know, that God will deal with these false prophets and false teachers. So Peter is warning us that in that time, in the last days, they are also going to be, as there were false prophets in Israel, there will also be false teachers. And these people, they will teach you heresies. They will teach you what is not according to doctrine. When someone introduces you to the word, introduces you to Christ, and then turns you to another way. And that is the challenge of false doctrine and false teachers. They start right, but at some point, they move away from pointing you to Christ and they point you to another God. So in that aspect, the prophecy, God is telling us, do not follow after them. And it says, look at how the warning, they will teach you evil teaching, they will teach you heresies, they will teach you wrong doctrines, and then apart from that, their evil teaching and shameful immorality, when you follow their pattern of their lives, you will see that they are living immoral lives. And then apart from that, they will make the word of God to be slandered. And that is something that you will see so much happening today. Many people slander the word of God because of how the prophets are living or because of how they see the people of God are living. And the Bible says, verse 3, in their greed, they will lie to you to get hold of your money. So if you can see that the focus of this prophetic ministry or this is just you're giving, then you will find that you are in trouble because they are after your money. Then I just want us to also look I spoke of the creative aspect, and I want us to look at 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 18. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 18, which speaks of how Paul and the elders prophesied to Timothy, and they were able to speak the gift of God in his life. So 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 18, it says, Timothy, my son, hear my instructions for you based on the prophetic words spoken about you earlier. May they help you fight well in the Lord's battles. Or even another version, it says, this charge I entrust to you, Timothy, my child, in accordance with the prophecies previously made about you, that by them you may wage the good warfare. So Paul is reminding Timothy that, remember, when we laid our hands on you, when we prayed you, when we put you in charge of leadership, and we laid our hands on you, there are words that we prophesied over you. We spoke the blessing of God. We spoke the victories that you're going to do. We declared, you know, the things that God is going to do mightily in your life. And when we did that, remember, he's telling them, remember the prophetic words that God spoke over your life. So as he was being ordained, he was prophesied over. They spoke into his life. That means they created a reality in his life. Remember, even like if we look at in the Old Testament, where the prophet said, by this time tomorrow, a grain of wheat and, you know, all this shall be sold for a certain amount of money. And the prophet said, oh, if that will be happened, can God open the windows of heaven? That will never happen. And then the prophet said, because you do not believe it, you shall only see it, but you shall not enjoy it. So the prophets have also the ability to create a reality by their prophesying over you. And that's one thing that you see, that the Bible also tells us that the people prospered when they are prophesied over. You know, believe in the Lord your God and you shall be established. Believe in his prophets and you shall prosper. So as prophets prophesy to you, as they speak the word of God, as they declare God's blessing over you and you receive them, then they are able by the gift of God to create a reality in you. Now, just to quickly add, and I think this is something that I'd wanted to say, in that it is that nowadays we need to distinguish their gifts. There are certain gifts that people attribute to prophecy. Now, as I said, prophecy is foretelling, it's forthtelling, and is also creating a reality. Okay, now there is the gift of word of knowledge. Now, the word of knowledge is someone knowing something about you. So when they're speaking to you, they say, oh, who is Mary? And you say, Mary is my mother. Did she have a skin problem? And they said, yes. Now, someone will think that that necessarily is prophecy, but that is the gift of word of knowledge. Now, then he says, now go home and tell your mother that you're sorry and your problem will be solved. Now, when he tells you that, now that is a word of wisdom, because the person has told you what to do to rectify your situation. Okay? Then, if he tells you, rise up and walk, that he is using the gift of faith to work the miracle in you, and the miracle can come forth. But if he tells you, go, you are blessed, and you shall prosper, then the person is now prophesying to you. But nowadays we think that prophecy is only word of knowledge. So if you come to a man and he cannot tell you something about you, and that's a problem. People want to be told something about themselves. Now, the danger with that is that you can easily fall prey to the spirit of divination. What is the spirit of divination? The spirit of divination is the branch of, whether you call it witchcraft or satanism or the devil, where they have also some special revelation, or they have some truths that they are revealed to by demons. So divination are those who consult idols, and the idols or the demons speak to them and tell them something. And this is what witch doctors do. When people go to witch doctors, the witch doctors tell them something about themselves. Now, the witch doctors might have an idea, they might not be accurate, but because they have what we call familiar spirits, they are able to connect to spirits that are connected to your generational line. Those are familiar spirits that have been following your family. They know your fathers, they know your grandfathers, they know your whole family, they know the issues that have been affecting them, whether it is alcohol, whether it is immorality. So since they know certain things, they can predict certain patterns about you. But the reality is, the devil cannot fully tell the future. He can predict it, he can try to estimate it, but he will never be accurate, because if he was accurate, he will never have crucified Jesus. If the devil had known, they will never have crucified Jesus. They would have allowed Jesus to die an old man. They would say, don't touch that man, because the day you touch him, then all men are saved. So the devil does not know the future. And any time you will see is that any false prophet will never communicate the word of God. But I think the last verse that I want us to look at is what we call the more sure word of prophecy. And let me just, I think it's 1 Peter. Let me just get the exact word where it is, so that we don't, we have the more sure word of prophecy. Yes, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 19, as we close with that. And this is where I want to draw the balance that we must be careful that our focus is not just on prophecy, but we have the more sure word of prophecy. Let me just go to King James, because I think it gives it nicely. 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 19, it says, but we, and okay, maybe I can just read from earlier. Okay, we can just, 16, it says, for we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from the God the Father honor and glory when he came, such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Remember, Peter is speaking of the time when they were on the mountain. And verse 18, it says, and this voice which came from heaven we heard, and when we were with him in the holy mountain, we have also a more sure word of prophecy, where unto ye do well that you take heed, as a light that shineth in a dark place, until the day dawn and the day star rises in your hearts. Verse 20, what is that sure word of prophecy? Knowing this, first, that no prophecy of scripture Remember, the most important aspect, the most important prophecy is Scripture. That no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved or as they were carried by the Holy Spirit. So everything that someone will ever prophesy to you, everything, every prophecy that you will ever hear or you will ever receive, be it a warning, be it a concern, it should not leave you in fear. It should come to encourage you. But the Bible tells us that apart from that prophecy that people seek after men to tell them, oh, what will happen to me and all that, that is really after divination and really after just, it's not the how God wants us to live with him. But there's a more sure word of prophecy, which is the word of God. So Peter is telling us, I was there when I saw the vision. I was there when Moses and Elijah appeared to Jesus. I was there when I heard the voice from heaven. But he says we have a more sure word of prophecy. And it is important that you take heed to it. It is a light unto the shining day. What is that sure word of prophecy? It is the word of God. So it is good to follow after prophecies. It is good to hear prophecies. It is good to be encouraged. But more importantly, know the word of God for yourself. And that way you can be your own prophet. I will stop there for now. And I pray that God will give you the grace. And by God's grace, we shall be able to continue in another time. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we give you thanks, we praise you, we worship your holy name. Thank you for your mercy, thank you for your grace, thank you for your teaching, oh God. Indeed, it has been short, but Lord, indeed, in your mercy, you're able to help us understand it, you're able to help us grasp it, and that, Lord, you shall continue to give us the grace to understand and to comprehend it, even for the days to come. May your name be praised, be worshipped, and be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen.